For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes, and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream. You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Bulubinaka, I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia.
And this is Pacific Prepared. This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster
through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
On today's show, farming in Fiji is changing fast as communities and villages respond to climate change impacts.
And some of the impacts from the 2024 Vanuatu earthquake. And they might not be as visible, but they lasted just as long, especially for farmers.
That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
Disaster is part of our life, and recovering is also part of our life.
As you see, they're smiling despite the devastation. That's how we are.
You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Almost half of Pacific Islanders do some kind of farming, whether that's for themselves or a slightly larger farm, and that includes livestock and fishing and forestry, Joe.
Yeah, Fred, in Fiji, an estimated 36% of the working age population is employed in agriculture. But this number is even higher if we also, you know, incorporate or include part-time farmers, as well as village and subsistence food production. And when I say part-time farmers, this could be those who work in offices from Monday to Friday, and they engage in farming on Saturday or over the weekend.
Gotcha. Yeah, rightio. Mm. But as of now, one of the main challenges these farmers are facing is changing weather patterns and rising sea levels.
Absolutely. I concur. And even the agriculture minister in Fiji, Fred, also acknowledged the fact that climate change and its impacts on the sector is among the many challenges that the ministry is trying to address right now, right across Fiji.
Yeah, this is actually really important as Fiji continues to improve the quality of its produce for export to overseas markets.
More into this, we will hear from the Minister for Agriculture, Waterways and Sugar, Mr. Tomasi Tonambona. Let's take a listen. You've been with the ministry for decades now, and I'm sure that you've noticed a lot of changes in terms of how our farmers right now, right across Fiji, are trying to adapt to the changing weather patterns. What are some of the changes you've noticed over the past few years as compared to the present or the current agricultural situation in Fiji?
We've had quite a number of very obvious changes, those that we can easily see and we can easily feel. Those that had been seen in our crop yields. One, we had seen the rainfall pattern had changed quite a lot. In previous years, we used to have very marked rainy seasons and dry season. They normally come with low temperatures and even humidity in the weather and hotter months. Now that had changed a lot. We've seen now that we can have continuous rain right throughout the year. It's very difficult to predict our rainy season. We've also had situations where the intensity of rain is heavy that you'll probably get in a very short period of time an equivalent of what we normally have as a rainfall over a number of months. Now, that has had a lot of effect on crop yield, simply because there are certain crops that needs very well-drained soil, and we oftentimes have to plan out on the drainage programs that we have. This had affected a lot of the crops that we used to grow on flats, simply because there are oftentimes difficulties faced when we try to drain flatlands, especially when our flatlands are closer to rivers and also to the sea. Now, rain normally comes with soil erosion and a lot of siltations in our rivers. A lot of siltations is caused by the farming systems upstream, those that don't really follow recommended farming systems. And what normally happens is we have a lot of silt deposits in our rivers. This makes a lot of rivers very shallow, and especially when we have on the river mouths, when they are shallow, we are bound to have a lot of flooding on the flats, simply because we cannot drain excess water coming down from our hills. And that again causes a lot of water logging, and a lot of our crops, especially in the tropics, don't grow well on waterlogged conditions. So a lot of crops don't normally perform when we have waterlogging lands. One that's also been very obvious is the rising sea level. Rising sea level had also in the past have situations where a lot of saltwater intrusion has been coming into lands that used to be used for cropping. We have had in the past, especially in our sugarcane land area, where we have sort of a seawall which are made to be access roads, and that's also to prevent saltwater coming into sugarcane fields. In the past, because of the rising sea level, a lot of these seawalls are not performing what's required to be achieved from those seawalls. So there's quite a lot of land that used to be on the sugar cane. Now we have not been able to be producing from those flatlands closer to the sea. We've also seen oftentimes that the high temperatures that we get, we seem to be getting sometime in the year very high temperatures that has a lot of precipitation, and there's a lot of water being precipitated from soil surfaces, and what happens is that a lot of our crops will be requiring water, and if they are not provided with the requirements for water, the yield also normally drops. Now, the whole what we used to have a season very much affected by these changing climatic conditions and weather pattern. So because we have a lot of crops that are very seasonal, this changing weather pattern becomes a changing season. So sometimes we cannot really decide for the market what we can produce simply because the season is already changing. So those are very obvious things that we are currently seeing. So what happens, we normally see some of our tree crops that normally bear fruits due to, you know, the seasonal variation. We oftentimes have some of those seasons where our fruit trees are not bearing simply because of the variation of seasons that we are currently have. I think those are the basic areas where we are now noting the differences in the changing climatic condition. But we had tried to use technologies to address these problems that we face. One in particular is the use of protected agriculture ways, salon cloth, and other technologies have been used. They come with cost. It'll probably also come with certain species and varieties. They will come with some needs of, you know, science to support the technologies that we use. But we, time and again, we will be losing out on some of the traditional varieties and species that we have. We have the taste that a lot of people prefer. And we are trying to the best of our ability how we can address this changing climatic condition to assist us in maintaining what we used to produce in the past.
Honourable Minister, before we wrap up, last words to our resilient farmers in Fiji, not only in Fiji, right across the Pacific, about the need to keep on keeping on despite these challenges.
Thank you. I know it is very, very important that we know that challenging times are coming. There are situations where we will need to be coordinating and working together with our partners. We are led to believe that you know, working together will lead us to be able to address or mitigate the effect of climate change. One thing that is very obvious in Fiji is that we are also experiencing a lot of weeds, pests, and diseases that comes with climate change, and that is why it is important for us to be very current with the people that we work with. It's always good to meet and understand those that are coming to us with information and advice on climate change and the impact climate change can do to our production systems. I think in the past when we heard about climate change, we were not prepared and we thought that it was something that people were just talking about. Now that we realizing that it's here to stay, I think we should be working on strategies on how we could put everything together. We should be working together as one, and we should also be listening and asking for advices from those who can assist us. We know that science can provide some solution. We also know that, you know, experiences can provide us with some knowledge that can assist us in mitigating the effect of climate change.
A timely advice from the Agriculture Minister about the need for farmers in Fiji to collaborate and work together with the relevant authorities, the Ministry of Agriculture, and about the need to inculcate traditional knowledge and what we've known and understand so far about improving the agriculture sector, particularly improving the quality of the produce that farmers usually put on the table to feed our markets and the potential to export their produce to international markets. And that was the Agriculture Minister, Minister for Agriculture, Waterways and Sugar in Fiji, Mr. Tomasi Tunambuna. We truly appreciate for setting aside his time to be heard on Pacific Prepared right here on ABC Radio Australia. Sir, Vinaka Wakalevu, thank you so much for your time.
Naka, and I wish citizen of the Pacific the very best on what we do and what we will encounter, more so how we can collaborate more in the future. Vinaka.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
There's a lot of things that you can see after an earthquake. It could be a crack in a building wall, or even maybe worse, like maybe the building has collapsed and there's rubble all over the ground, Fred.
Whatever it is, you see all these things and eventually they're cleared up or repaired. But there's also lots of effects and impacts that we can't really see. And one of these is people's jobs.
And after the 7.3 magnitude earthquake in Vanuatu in 2024. They experienced all of these things, including the impact on jobs, as one farmer and market stallholder explained to Pacific Prepared recently.
My name is Siapa Mako, and I'm from Tana.
What sort of experiences have you had with natural disasters?
With natural disasters, yeah, we've gone through many natural disasters, and especially the earthquake that hit Vanuatu, and we've been come along like we haven't sailed for months, and we've been staying back at home, and we've been go through many problems like our kids for school fees, and like many of the local farmers here in Vanuatu, we just sell inside the market house to earn money for living. So many of us went through difficulties. Yeah.
So you couldn't sell anything straight after the earthquake in December?
No, we can't come and sell here. So we have to wait until we are advised to come back to the market house. Yeah.
And how many months was that for you?
5 months. Like, yeah, we're, oh, yeah.
It's a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
So what were you, how did you earn money in that time?
We have to stay back at home. We have to manage to find a way so that we can earn money. Some of us, we live near the roadside, so we have to build small shelters so that we can put, we can sell along the roadside to earn money for living. Yeah.
We're at your stall at the moment in the market in Vanuatu in Port Vila, and you're selling dried vegetables and fruit here.
Yeah, we're selling the fencing product. This is sweet, yeah, value added. It's a fencing product. Yep.
And so, I mean, that must have taken a long time to build up all of your stock again and to be able to get it ready to sell, right?
Yes. Yes, it's a bit a long time. Yeah.
Now you're back to normal?
Yes. At this point in time, maybe I'm going to say, yes, we're back to normal again. Yeah.
And you must have seen a lot of cyclones over your life too, in Vanuatu as well?
Yes, yes, we've been facing a lot of cyclones, yeah.
What were your experience with those?
The cyclones? Cyclones, the experience is that cyclones, it's much more damage than the earthquake. So it takes us a long time, long period of time to stay at home. And we find very hard to feed our families, yeah. And the kids. So we have to find a way so that we can make money for our living. Yeah, because we are, some of us, we migrate to Port Vila. Yeah.
And when there is a disaster happening or it's happened, do you tune into the radio to get information? Like, how do you do that? How do you get the best information?
Okay. At first, yeah, we have to listen to the radio, but nowadays mobile phone, so we get the information through the mobile phones. Yeah.
So that's where you get it from most of the time?
Yes.
And are you like listening to something on your phone, or are you just getting it off like social media, or?
Now we're when the disaster, during the disaster, we have to go. We go to the phone for informations. Yeah.
And are you listening to the radio on the phone, or how does that work? No.
Yes. We use phone for radio as well. Okay. Yeah.
So but if you can listen to the radio, is that the first thing that you do, or how do you figure that out?
If the phone is not working, yeah, and we have to hear from somebody else, to get information. Especially like me living outside the town. Yeah. I come far away from roundabout, that's too far from the town. Yeah.
If you had one opinion to raise to the government, what will it be?
Maybe like a vendor in the market. My concern to the government is that when after the disaster, because the ladies sitting in the market, we raise money here too. Yeah, for a living. So I think the government should be aware of the disaster and must do something quickly to help us, the market vendors.
Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome.
Thanks to one of the storeholders from the markets in central Port Vila there in Vanuatu for speaking to Pacific Prepared. What are some of the other less obvious impacts from disasters that you've seen, Joe? You've had a lot of experience in this.
Well, Fred, I haven't encountered the most severe earthquake as such, the one that happened in Vanuatu way back in 2024. But the most common ones that I've ever encountered in Fiji were tropical cyclones, flooding, even tsunami along the coast. And some of the less obvious impacts that I've noticed and experienced, how people, those who were impacted, trying to cope mentally after a disaster. It's hard when you see people lost their belongings, lost the somethings or the materials they treasure. For example, their homes, their livestock, even farms, knowing that their sweat and the sacrifices for months have just gone to waste after, for example, flooding, washing away crops and other vegetables that were planted along the riverbank. And still at the market in Port Vila, we spoke with someone. Well, Fred and the team from VBTC spoke with someone from the council who oversees the market to find out what the experiences were with disasters in Vanuatu. Let's listen.
Okay, me name is Bule Berna, Mr. Oshawan, Municipal Warden Law, PBTC. Me and Emblomi, Berna, Bule, we work on Shewan Warden or PBCC. Okay. Yeah.
His name is Putre Pena, and he works at a warden at PBCC, Port Vila City Council. One of the disasters where you've been look finished where?
Okay, I'm not sure you've been look finished. I'm saying, Equekelo, you've been happening in 2024, yes. Climate change, solar water, erosion by the water. Yes, man, I was a middle of the chair. What
he's seeing, like the most one, the earthquake. Yeah, that's what he's seeing. And the solar rising, level points, all around Vanuatu.
Yeah, the sea level?
Yeah, sea level rising. Yeah.
And when there is a disaster, how does radio help him?
Time got one disaster. How na radio help you? Radio. Yeah.
Okay, give me more information. Awareness, doctor. How na you say? Blah. Especially For example, she got a tidal wave when I say awareness she can finish before even a cyclone when I got awareness. So they give more information finish.
So what he said that radio that it plays a huge role, like giving awareness to the people of something about to happen, like tsunami or cyclone. Yeah.
And does he listen to it during a disaster?
You listen to him during the disaster, no?
Radio? No, I'm listening to them. I need to listen to them. Listen, so she needs to come out on TV. Yes, so listen to radio.
He listens to radio and also watch TVs at the same time for disaster and other purposes. Yeah.
And just in terms of like how is he feeling in general about Vanuatu in terms of disasters? Are you feeling safe or?
After all disaster, you feel him say you Mr. safe or?
I feel say you Mr. safe. Yes.
He feels like Vanuatu is not, it's not safe.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Why?
Probably you must have look all, you must have changed, all the day, so, and it is a stay camp, you must be safe no one, yeah.
Better
so, say you will do all the day, change, So, when it is a stay camp, so you must be, for example, cyclone, also can, let's see, when you let them try season or something like that, yeah.
What he says, like Vanuatu, for example, Vanuatu in the Pacific is a country that is a well known for natural disasters. Yeah, mm-hmm. Every time. Yeah, so yeah, we don't feel safe anymore. Like earthquake, that just shook everybody for.
How does that make him feel then? Feeling unsafe. How does he feel about his own country being so vulnerable?
So how do you feel where country I vulnerable in Osama?
Have you won them? So?
I mean, vulnerable in a safe Osama.
Ah, okay. So, give me my. You say, that was when I'm bad. Me, you say, you must know what you could do. You know what you listen, yes.
He said the main thing is for us to just look after each other and try many as ways as possible to stay safe at all times.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever. You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
Coming to an end of another episode of Pacific Prepared, thank you so much, Pinaka Wakalebo, for always listening or tuning in. And we trust that you've learned a lot from the stories, the Talanoa, that we've compiled so far early this year.
Joe, thank you so much for your help this week. And thanks for listening to another episode of Pacific Prepared as always. But it's good to be back in our normal positions on the screens instead of traveling. Yeah. So. But yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Fred. And thank you for you and the team at ABCID for having me co-host the Pacific Prepared. Very important in the Pacific about the need to be always prepared for any disaster and the need to adapt to the impacts of climate change. I'll talk to you again, same time, same place next week. Until then, do take care. Be disaster ready and Nisa Mwadamanda.
Vinaka. Thanks, Joe.
Vinaka.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanua Uviti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josiah Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.